660 AM. The Answer.
Can you hear us? And welcome back to America Can We Talk. Okay, so I got a little wound up in the last segment because I intended the last segment to introduce our next guest, but I was too wound up. And so on the break, we were talking about the Democrat National Convention. And actually, our guest, Kevin Freeman, who is here with us tonight, had a great point to talk about what happens if we listen to some of the ideas that Hillary Clinton is bringing. So tell our listeners what you were just for saying.
Sure, Debbie. Basically, the law of unintended consequences tells us that you can't both offer free college for all those in America and open borders. It would completely bankrupt our country.
That is just like, okay, I'm embarrassed I didn't think of that. One of my best friends in law school always goes, I'm ashamed I did not think of that. That is such a good point. Why wouldn't, I mean, for all the other welfare benefits people cross the border to get for free, if you think in America you get free college?
Sure. The 200 million people at minimum would cross the border to come to our nation, and at $25,000 a year, which is fairly cheap for full-time college, that would be over $5 trillion. But it could easily be a billion people come for free college. It's impossible. You can't do both.
It is just an astonishing thing. Okay, so let me back up and say, so our guest is obviously here in studio, Kevin Freeman. And I think many of you, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area listening, you've probably heard of Kevin Freeman before. He is a longtime financial industry insider, but he was recruited by the Pentagon to author a report on the possibility of financial cyber attack against the United States. He's the author of two books, more than two, but the two we're going to talk about tonight. One, from January 2012, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Could Happen Again. And the second one is from January 2014, Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. So on this show, Kevin, we talk about America's freedom, our military strength, our borders, what's happening with Islam, and whether they want to physically attack us. But you've been looking at a whole different issue of people attacking America through cybersecurity. And you wrote specifically about the 2008, I guess we don't call it a crash, you call it a stock market meltdown or stock market collapse, and that the involvement of, and many people at the time thought it was just a variety of factors and parties blame each other, but there was actually an element of attack on our country in that. So I'd love to have you tell us about that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. In 2008, just one example, according to the Chinese, when Hank Paulson, our Treasury Secretary, was at the Summer Olympics in Beijing, he was pulled aside and he was told that Russia was trying to crash our stock market. And they asked the Chinese to join them in attacking Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And as you recall, we had a housing problem, and they went directly against Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and tried to collapse our system, and they almost did. It was the worst decline in the stock market since the Great Depression.
It really was. And, you know, in 2008, there are all sorts of staggering numbers that came out of that. And for our listeners, I'm sorry, I want to do a further introduction. We have Kevin Freeman here tonight in studio with us, talking with us about his books and his research into the role of actual terrorism or cyber attack in not just the 2008 stock market collapse, but also going forward. It's an ongoing threat to America. And honestly, I don't think, I'm telling you, 90% of Americans don't even, they might worry about terrorists and bombs, but worrying about this kind of stuff, it just seems, I don't know, incomprehensible or obscure. But tell me how that works. What is it the enemy of America does to do an economic cyber attack?
It doesn't seem obvious, but it should be obvious. It's obvious to our enemies. It was written about by two colonels in the People's Liberation Army of China in 1999 in a book called Unrestricted Warfare, in which they said a single man-made stock market crash is a new concept weapon, probably more powerful than a nuclear bomb. And they pointed to George Soros as the prototype. They called him a financial terrorist, and they said that's the methodology that you can take down a great power. They didn't, at the time, want to take on our military. They didn't want to fight our planes and tanks and cruise missiles and so forth. They realized that if they could crash our stock market, our economy would crumble and our nation would go deeply into debt and eventually collapse. What we saw in 2008 was in part brought about by the Russians, also by sovereign wealth funds in the Middle East. And that's what I covered in the book Secret Weapon. there were groups that felt we were vulnerable and they were going to try and take us down, and they realized that if they could, that America would no longer exist. It's a way to defeat the great Satan for the Iranians. And they could do it either by hacking into the NASDAQ, which the Russians have done. They just literally hack into the stock market and mess around with it. And they did, and we found that out. They could do it through something called exchange-traded funds. They could do it through credit default swaps and mess with the credit of our companies. They could do it with something obscure called naked short selling. But there are multiple ways to take down our stock market, and we're doing very little to protect against that.
Okay, I just hate hearing this, although it's always better to know and then be ready or to think through what we should do. So are some of the things, like you mentioned short selling, are some of the things that people could do who want to have an economic cyber attack against America, some of them involve procedures or processes that are legal, right?
Yes, but what happened in 2008 was not legal. It was not regular, normal short selling, which is fine. It's actually good for the markets. They were doing something called naked short selling, in which you sell short shares of stock that you've never borrowed. You're basically making counterfeit shares and you're selling them on the market. And they did it to the tune of about 100 million shares on Lehman Brothers, starting on September 11th and lasting until Lehman went bankrupt September 15th.
September 11th of 2008.
That's correct.
Okay.
The seventh anniversary of the 9/11 attack.
And that was probably intentional to choose that date.
I would imagine.
Yeah. You know, I just think these things sound, again, if you're not a financial type, if you don't really particularly work in the stock market, these things sound so complex. And so, you know, one thought I had is there are people who picture the terrorists, the Islamic terrorists who want to hurt us as these are kind of cave dwellers. They are barbaric. They just, you know, they're just brutal and all that. But how could they? But they're not sophisticated enough to do this stuff. But actually, that's not right.
No, it's not right. The sovereign wealth funds of the Middle East manage trillions of dollars. They have some of the best investment managers in the world. And at least one of them in 2008 was under the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood's top scholar, who at the time was chanting death to America, just like all the other senior scholars in places that don't like us. And he had control over whether or not that fund would invest or short sell Lehman Brothers or other American banks.
Okay. I want to urge our guests, we're talking with Kevin Freeman, and he has this book, came out in January 2012, and you can get it on your iPad because that's where I have my copy. And if you don't have one, it opens your world to understanding something that doesn't occur to most people. Again, his book is Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Could Happen Again. So back to 2008, there was a lot of political finger pointing at the time. Republicans were blaming the Democrats for, you know, the housing market mess and you know, not having subprime mortgage was a big problem. And the Republicans are blaming Republicans are blaming the Democrats that way. Democrats are blaming Republicans. It's all Wall Street insider stuff. So weren't there more contributing factors to the September 2008 stock market collapse than just the cybersecurity you're talking about?
Of course. And we had people getting houses that they should not have gotten. They couldn't afford them. And that was from the Community Reinvestment Act. And that was a problem. But what pushed us over the edge, we walked ourselves to the cliff. What pushed us over the edge, or at least shoved us while we were falling over the cliff, was this foreign manipulation. And I want to point out, it happened right before the election. On September 11th, 2008, McCain and Palin were leading in the polls. On September 15th, 2008, Obama, Biden were ahead and never looked back. I think it's interesting because the Democrat National Committee has accused the Russians of hacking the DNC emails in order to influence the election for Mr. Trump. And they, that's entirely possible, they claim. Well, what I would point out is out of the last 22 elections, whenever there's been a market loss, seven of eight times, a market decline caused the party in power to lose power. Seven of eight times. The only one exception was Dwight Eisenhower in 1956. But other than that, if you make the stock market go down, the party in power, in an election year, the party in power loses. So if the Russians wanted to ensure that Trump would win, they'd hack the market, which they know how to do, and they'd crash the market. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's their preference. But what happened in 2008 that put Barack Obama in the White House?
And on that note, we are talking with Kevin Freeman, and he's going to stay with us through this break. Kevin Freeman, about this whole new issue of whether or not economic terrorism, financial terrorism, not only what a role it played in 2008, but could it do something again this time? And also, when we see the email hacking ability, the cyber hacking ability of our enemies, shouldn't we be just a tiny bit more worried about Hillary Clinton? Come right back. We'll keep on talking with Kevin Freeman. This is Debbie Georgiatis and America Can We Talk.
660 AM, The Answer.
And welcome back to America Can We Talk. This is Debbie Georgiatis. So glad you've tuned in tonight. This evening we have in our studio, I'm so glad he's in person because it's so much more fun. We can talk on the break too, is Kevin Freeman. And he is the author of a book from January 2012, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. So we were talking before the break about the September 11th, 2008 cyber attack, kind of the serious stock collapse we had at that time. I guess you don't call it a stock crash. It's just a collapse of the economic
market
system.
Market meltdown, anything
okay.
like that.
I like that. So who would be, I mean, we were talking about how this was at the time people pointed fingers back and forth in domestically, but really, as your research uncovered, there was a major role played by enemies of America. And so who benefited from that politically? What would have been the intention of the Russians who apparently were the ones, it was the Russians you think were behind it?
Well, the Russians were clearly behind part of it because we know that. Hank Paulson admitted it. My research found that also. So absolutely, the Russians were involved in taking Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac down. But also behind it were sovereign wealth funds in the Middle East, Islamic radical sovereign wealth funds that were Sharia compliant, and the Sharia scholar at the fund was Yusuf Karadawi at the Qatari Investment Fund. And I've written about this a lot at my blog, globaleconomicwarfare.com. But he was very anti-America. He had a show on Al Jazeera where he would regularly call for the death of Americans.
Okay, actually, I'm glad you mentioned I was writing down your your website, so we can be sure to have you mention that again. So now we're in 2016, and before I get to this question, I want to ask you, so you have, since that time, tried to work to create policies in Washington that would prevent some of this cyber economic attack to protect America better. How's that going?
Well, we had good response, particularly from the Pentagon. A few members of Congress made some headway with the FBI and a few other places, but in particularly the Defense Department, the Office of Net Assessment, the Special Operations Low Intensity Conflict, and certain groups had follow-on reports. And I've been told that they went over to the SEC and said some of these practices that we're allowing are a national security risk. Knock it off. And I've gotten reports back that the SEC has actually tightened up a few of those areas. One of those reports came from Patrick Byrne, the owner of Overstock.com, or the CEO and one of the largest shareholders. And he has been railing against naked short selling for years. And he said, basically, my report and my efforts in Washington made more progress than anything else they've done.
I love it. I love to hear that. So here we are in 2016. And actually, one more thing. More could be done policy-wise in Washington to prevent cyber economic attack. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. We're barely scratching the surface of what we could do to not only defensively protect ourselves, but to hone our offensive capabilities so that we take enemies down.
So what is preventing that from moving forward, both protecting our system better? Just start with that. Who would be against making our system more secure?
Well, the group that shut down what I was doing in the Pentagon came from the administration. In fact, at one point I was called by my contact in the Defense Department, and they told me they were going to classify my research and they would put me in jail if I ever talked about it. And I was protected by a former CIA director named Jim Woolsey. And Jim actually sent copies of my report to John McCain, John Kyle, and Joe Lieberman, three senators at the time, only one of whom is still there. But they contacted the Defense Department and said, don't classify it. So I wanted to know why. Why were they trying to classify it? And the answer was it didn't fit the administration's narrative. They thought it very embarrassing that a financial terror attack happened in 2008 and that helped elect the president.
Oh my gosh, this is okay. I did not even know what you just said now. That is so interesting. And you know, honestly, I always talk about talking truth about America. It is so important to understand these kind of things that they don't make headlines. They're not the, you know, keep you awake at night, worry about Islamic terrorism or worrying about crime. But really, it could rattle, not just rattle your world. In fact, I read something, I was going to ask you if this was accurate, that at the time of the 2008 cyber economic attack on America, almost half of the world's wealth was destroyed during the 2008 financial crisis, according to Blackstone Group. Is that true?
Yes. If you stopped and you were static and you said, okay, here we are, March 2009, we're going to stop, and this is all that wealth is worth, it was about half of what it had been maybe 18 months earlier. So it was the biggest decline that we've had since the Great Depression. And we almost went into a Great Depression as a result.
That is simply staggering. Okay, so moving forward, here we are in 2016. We have the same players in the world who are not always our best friends, the Chinese, the Russians, certainly various Islamic groups around the world. And I don't want to have an October surprise. I want to have an election based on the merits of our country and the various political ideologies. But, I don't know how to even ask the question, but should we be worried that this could happen?
Well, I'm worried about October surprises. I don't believe that Vladimir Putin, though, necessarily wants to put Donald Trump in the White House. That's conventional wisdom, and people talk about that, but it makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me because Hillary Clinton is the one who said, we will stop coal production. Who's going to ban fracking? Who's going to stop American energy production? That would be very much in Putin's interest. It is against his interest to do what Donald Trump has said, which is make America great again and start producing as much energy as we possibly can. So given the choice, the Russians would much prefer to have Hillary Clinton. I think they feel like they could roll over her in NATO. I think that Putin actually respects Donald Trump more than he does Secretary Clinton. But I absolutely believe that when push comes to shove, they would prefer to see Clinton in office.
You know, we were talking about that on the break, and as you said it, it just had that kind of ring true feel that, yes, that sounds like about right. So, you know, it kind of segues nicely into one of the last things that we have time tonight to talk about, which is it was so interesting when the DNC's emails were hacked, and it was timely at the beginning of the Democrat convention. It obviously caused the unplanned resignation of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. But more than that, it brought back to the public's attention again the potential problem Hillary Clinton created with her private email server at home. And we have, and now WikiLeaks is giving out the DNC's emails, and that they're dealing with that, all the blowback from that, the reaction to that. And the Clinton Foundation, apparently, WikiLeaks is talking about releasing their emails. So all this, so far, this releasing of email stuff is really seems targeted at Hillary.
It does, and it's embarrassing for her. And there's no doubt she put American national security at risk when she had a private server to serve her own personal interests and not the interests of government or the people. When you become Secretary of State, your number one job is to protect the American people. She failed to do that, and that alone is a reason to disqualify her for Commander-in-Chief.
Oh, I think that, too. And I got to tell you something else about that. It's not just that what she said about her character at the time by just refusing to use the government server, the government system that had some protection to it, although who knows who could hack into that. But so it was just a selfish thing to start with. But the ongoing deception about it for the longest time afterwards, well, I didn't really do anything. Nothing was confidential. Well, nothing was top secret. Well, I really have protection. It was kind of an ongoing, and what she really has done besides revealed her character, she has put our nation at risk, because who knows how many of those 30,000 emails Russia has? Who knows how many any other enemy has? And so she's bribable. I can't think of the right word to say. She can't lead based on America's best interests.
She's compromised.
Compromised, that's the word I was trying to think of. And honestly, just think about that. Whatever she had in those emails, Russia has them, China may have them. I mean, I always think the Islamic terrorists probably don't, but maybe some of those groups you described have them too.
You know, they're much more sophisticated. They are not ignorant cave dwellers. And in fact, I wrote a blog post on that. Some of the most sophisticated hackers in the world are Islamic radicals. The Syrian Electronic Army once hacked the AP Twitter feed and caused the stock market to lose $200 billion in value in a matter of seconds.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I like the word about Hillary compromised. And I guess I want to switch over. And I know you're really here as an expert on economic cyber terrorism. I love that you're here. But I also know you're informed on kind of everything facing America, a lot of the issues facing America. You know, when we look at what Hillary is, because she's compromised, and it's not just back to the, it's not just her emails that were in her server at home. It's Clinton Foundation. What kinds of access people got by giving money? What and who knows what she said? Like, well, sure, for this amount of money, I'll be sure this happens. It just seems like she's in an impossible position to lead, and I don't understand why that isn't just dispositive to every voter in America.
Well, it should. It should not even be allowed that foreign governments could donate money to a foundation that would benefit her family. It should be disallowed. It was allowed under the Obama administration, and it's further compromised her.
Yeah.
In every respect, she has been compromised, and she has been bought. I shudder to think of what the Obama Foundation is going to receive from foreign nations after he leaves office in exchange for really compromising America.
There's going to be an Obama Foundation?
Oh, of course.
Oh, gosh. We're still trying to figure out the Clinton Foundation. Well, in this parting, we have about a minute left in this, and I'm just so grateful. Again, we have Kevin Freeman here. I urge you to get his book and also go to his website, globaleconomicwarfare.com
or secretweapon.org.
Okay, love those. Love his books. And actually, even though what we've been talking about tonight, I'm just skimming the surface of the depth, obviously, in these books that are several hundred pages long, but they're really very readable. I meant to commend you about that because I'm not an economist. I'm a lawyer, and I don't follow economic stuff necessarily, but they are logical. They're easy to follow, and you just feel so informed when you can talk about them and understand them better. So I urge our listeners to get those books. I'm going to just close with this thing about Donald Trump. This is completely political and not about economics, which... You know, all this time that Hillary's been, that Barack Obama's been president, I just think we've had, okay, that mean guy in there is playing music in the background. I have 30 seconds. Okay. Anyway, I was going to say, I think that Donald Trump is more likely to be the recipient of serious control by the Republicans than Hillary Clinton ever would be in this next, if he wins. Any last thoughts on that, Kevin Freeman?
Yeah, I have no doubt that the Republicans will keep Donald Trump on the reservation because the media will help them. If he goes off the reservation, the Republicans will go after him, but they will not touch Senator Clinton.
Absolutely. This is Debbie Georgiatis, America Can We Talk. Thank you, Kevin Freeman. Thanks for tuning in. Great next hour. Don't go away.
Stimulating talk. 660 AM. The Answer.